Welcome to Sustain This, a podcast where we discuss mindful consumption, personal style, and the quest for living a more intentional life. I'm Alyssa, a sustainable stylist.
And I'm Christina, a shopaholic turned minimalist-ish.
And I'm Sina, a color consultant and slow fashion style coach.
Together, we will unpack the nuances of what it really means to be a conscious consumer and find more joy in what we have right now. So grab your tea, your coffee, or whatever floats your boat and join us in the conversation. Let's go.
Yay.
All righty. Coming at you from Copenhagen. Welcome back. So today, because we thought we have a limited time being in the same room together on the channel, we thought we would do an Ask Me Anything. So we put out a community post on YouTube. You guys had a lot of great questions for us, so we're going to take some time to answer those today.
Yeah. Thank you for submitting those.
They're so really good. Yeah, really good, really thoughtful.
Yes. Yeah. And thank you for all the kind comments.
We have the best community, don't
we? Yeah, we do.
Just like, you spoil us, honestly.
100%. I'm just going to start at the top.
Yeah.
A bunch of people wanted to see videos of us out and about. So hopefully, I'm sure if you check out each of our channels, we're all going to have some vlogs.
Yeah.
This is fun. I'm retired and I travel a lot. I find that my wardrobe tends to look plain, especially when I choose traditional travel gear. I get this because travel, you have to be super functional and fly with carry-on only. So how can I feel feminine and fun while traveling and also enjoying many other outdoor pursuits? So this is like that whole, how do I inject that feminine vibe while also being very functional?
I really like the idea of integrating your whole wardrobe to be functional across the board. You know, if I'm like going to the gym, I'm wearing like my gym clothes, my leggings, my running shoes, my sports bra, whatever. But on the way to the gym, I'll like throw on a t-shirt and a blazer so I still feel like cool and within my style. I'm not gonna like sweat in it. Yeah. You know, I'm not wearing it and I bring a protective layer so that I'm not like destroying my blazer or having to do the dry cleaning. You know, instead of being like, I'm going to wear my Lululemon jacket and my leggings and my thing, my sports bra. And I'm like, and then I'm going to, the, like, this is my gym outfit. So I really like that sort of way of integrating. But with this question, it sounds like she is doing a lot of, like, specific activities, like hiking and, like, that kind of stuff. Yeah, how would you integrate?
I think I would actually, we just talked about color, but I think if you're like doing all of these activities and you want to inject your personality into it, then I would look to color to create some of that, like coming back to yourself. So rather than, you know, there's so many options out now for things that are more functional, but still interesting. Mm-hmm. So if you've got to wear leggings, like maybe you get them in like, maybe not like a standout crazy print, because you're not going to be able to rewear them over and over, but like just a nice, like, beautiful color that makes you happy. And I think footwear is a big one too.
Yeah.
So yeah, like when you travel, if you're doing a lot of hiking, you're gonna have no option but to wear those like solid shoes. Yeah. But then I find, I just like this, we've talked about this before, like leaning into the difficulty. Like if you've got to bring along your hiking shoes, then maybe you figure out a way to wear them or the leggings, like Christina said, like with a blazer, or maybe you get like a cool bomber jacket that offers a little bit of functionality, but it's in a really cool fabric, like maybe like a silk or like a some cool like vinyl or whatever. Yeah. So you're getting this like, this little mix.
Yeah. You're blurring the lines between.
Yeah. The tweener, in-betweener moments. Like, what do you wear? What can you do in between? So, like, I think another really cool thing would be, like, if you have, like, the hiking shoes and you have to have, like, your windbreaker or something, but you get, like, a really cool pair of joggers or something, like, ones that you can wear, like, as athleisure and even when you're hiking.
Yeah.
For me, having, like, a nice, like, a neutral color, then, you know, I could wear it with, like, my running shoes or my hiking shoes, but I could also wear it with like flip-flops or flats even, like a pair of ballet flats. And I think that, you know, it kind of expands the function and usability of your wardrobe. And I think like hair and or even like some necklaces or accessories, like you might, you know, you might not want to wear makeup if you're hiking or whatever, but just like throwing on a pair of earrings or something.
The way it makes you feel, like you
yeah
you know it
that counts for something too.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Like decorating.
You even did that on this trip, right, Alyssa? You have your running shoes. That's your only pair of like sneakers, but you're making them work.
Yeah. 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 And like, I think when you pack, I think it comes from a lot of intentionality when you pack. So like, know your footwear and then lean into like the vibe of the footwear for sure.
So can you go over that? Because like, let's say it's not for hiking. Let's say it's just like, I just don't want to bifurcate or trifurcate. Like, I don't want to split my closet into like workout, work, play, dinner. Like, I want it to be
more blurred or
more
like
blurred,
yeah,
more integrated. I think you're doing a great job of that. So let's say you have your running shoes. Yeah. What are you pairing them with?
Like, so the running shoes that I have, like, I was, good call. So I was telling the girls that I was a bit disappointed. I, for whatever reason, like, there are running shoes, like, that are technical running shoes that look cool. But, like, if you have a specific, if you're a runner, like, you have a shoe that you, that's, like, your shoe. And, like, the Zoom, these are the Nike Zoom Flies. They're good, but they're not like, they're not the coolest looking shoe in my opinion. But okay, they're black, they've got a big chunky sole, so these are going to be able to carry the weight of a lot of like wide leg things.
Yes.
So you know what I mean? So immediately I was like, okay, I'm gonna bring the wide leg pants, also because the wide leg pants kind of like hide them a little bit. Yeah. Like, you know, you kind of camouflage.
So clever.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know. But then I also thought, I also brought like a little black leather mini. So you would probably never think to wear these with a black leather mini. Like, I don't think it's going to be warm enough. Maybe in Milan it'll be warm enough. Mini skirt. Okay. Yeah. But because they're black, the leather mini is black, and I'm going to, and again, I'm going to wear like a chunky sweater. So there again, we're balancing out the weight of the shoe, and we're not really looking at the fact that this is a, like, it's cool. It's a sneaker. You know, like, it's fine.
But I love, like, you know, even let's say you are about to buy a new pair of running shoes. Right. Even in that whole decision process, you go, okay, but they're potentially not just my running shoes. Yeah. Maybe I need to like pack light and then wear them as an actual part.
Shoe. And that's such a good point, because I knew this is a relatively new shoe for me. And these came in, like, they come in, like, really cool, flashy colors. But knowing that I would have to travel with these, exactly like you said, I got them in the black and white. Because now I know they're going to do double duty, you know? That's it. That was a good question.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good one. Why are sustainable brands often so basic / boring? And how can someone who enjoys fashion support sustainable brands?
I love the whole, there's actually like a girl in Denmark, her and like a professor, they wrote a book about how to dress better in the sense of how to dress more like responsibly too. And they talk a lot about timeless, the whole phrase timeless, where they kind of say we can't really say anything is timeless. Like, it does that phrase even exist? And I think that's where it comes from, that often brands will like do the timeless design because it will live longer. So they play it safe, but really nothing is timeless if you think about it. Right. So I think that's where it comes from, that they keep it basic, keep it timeless so that it's not outdated in like 5 years.
The other thing I find too is like a lot of like really sustainable brands, I find it leans into a more bohemian kind of style sometimes too. So it's like either it's like super basic or it's super basic, and by basic I mean classic, and then more bohemian, flowy, kind of feminine. So there's like a, it's difficult to find in between, and I feel like that could be maybe because, like, you know, silhouettes and all of that is changing so much, and it or maybe you need to use more like, you know, synthetics, etc., like to be able to pull off. I don't know, like, I'm not a clothing brand. I wish like we knew the
but you're right, because they do like trend researching ahead of like designing a collection, and it's like, okay, what's the next like silhouette? So I think you're right that it's like a way to push back against like the constant changing silhouettes and the constant changing designs to say, okay, we're sticking with this, this is timeless. And then so really, and we've like talked about that before, so really of course, like, focus on like supporting sustainable brands, like whatever that means. I mean, that phrase is even like, what is, what does that even mean? Focus on like buying the right things that you want to wear over and over again.
100%. Yeah, so I think it's more like, of course they make those like classic timeless basics, so I think it's almost like, because like, what does supporting sustainable brands even mean in the sense of like, you know, if you thrift and find something fabulous, that's supporting sustainability in a way. And if you mean like by shopping new, then I feel like almost like if you find a, like if it's like a really good sustainable brand and all they are offering are like those basics, then it's like, I do think there are some basics that can build your, you know, it's like your foundation. Mm-hmm. It's like the first layer of that cake. And then, you know, then maybe you branch out and sort of build off of that, mm-hmm. out of that foundation of basics that are really, really great and sustainable. And then maybe you bring in thrifted pieces. And if you have to get a fast fashion piece or maybe a less sustainable piece, then, mm-hmm. Because really the ultimate thing about sustainability, at least for me, is like, you're wearing it, you're keeping it. Yeah. It's not cycling through your wardrobe in and out.
You're wearing more.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
I think I would almost suggest to the person who asked the question, or just in general, like all of us, like I like how you were saying, like the way I see sustainability. And I think it's really about reframing the question as not, maybe perhaps not so much how do I support sustainable brands, which we want to, and that's a good thing. But I think if you kind of go even like one layer deeper and ask yourself, how can I simply make more conscious choices in my life? Or how can I just be more sustainable just as a person without even putting shopping or consumption in the picture? Then automatically you're going to start supporting these more sustainable brands just because you'll do things and shop in a way that aligns with who you are, and with you'll end up buying clothing that you wear forever and ever.
Yeah.
And I think you won't get caught up in the marketing or in the this pressure that we put on ourselves to shop sustainable and to only buy da 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 da, because ultimately wear it, love it forever. That's the most sustainable thing you can do. So,
and I think that just makes me think too. It's like when I think of sustainable brands, like when she asked that question, it was almost like, for me, I immediately went to the materials.
Yeah.
But the other versions of sustainability are like, you know, maybe they only have like one season, like they put out, they have like a core collection, mm-hmm. and that's all they offer. Or like, or maybe they only do four seasons as opposed to weekly drops. Yeah. Like, so there's different things that you can, because I think not one brand can cover all of it, right? So 100%. It's also like, you know, knowing what you're looking for and like what kind of checks those boxes off for you. And it could be different brands doing different things.
I like this one. What are the items that have surprised you in your closet / things you didn't expect to like or wear that much but have become a huge favorite? I have quite a few of those.
I have one too. Yeah, because I was on the plane, I was like going through my old photos and like deleting stuff, because that's all you can do on the plane. And I saw like an outfit I wore last year with like, it's like this blue frilly top from People Tree.
Yeah, with
the I dyed it. Yeah, it used to be like white, but now it's blue. And it's like,
with like the eyelets.
Little eyelets, and it has like frilly sleeves and a little V-neck. And it's very cute, like very, very cute, feminine, romantic, which is not like something I would normally feel like myself in. Mm-hmm. But I love that top. Like, I can't wait for the weather to warm up so I can wear it again. So it's very much, you know, that's definitely been a surprise to me, like going through my wardrobe, because it's super old. Like, I would have probably decluttered it, but I've kept held on to it because it's more like, okay, well, how do I then style it? Like, how do I make it part of this more like laid back kind of vibe that I like so much?
Do you have any pieces that come to mind?
I'm gonna say it's a silk maxi skirt that I got from Reformation, and it's just a plain black, like, what's just like the up and down cut,
the column.
Yeah, just like long maxi skirt, so it's a little bit slimmer. And I've been wearing it with like, you know, I think with sneakers and with like denim jackets and with leather jackets. It's a piece that really challenged me when I bought it, because I was like, I don't know how much wear you're going to get out of this, because you don't really wear dresses. But I feel really great in it every time I wear it. And it's a nice way, because I find my aesthetic and my style is like definitely more masculine. So I, just to keep it a little bit more balanced, more like yin and yang, I like to find ways to keep it a little bit more feminine. And so like if I'm wearing like all denim and sneakers and, you know, just a plain tank top or something, or even a t-shirt, then like you know, throwing on the skirt is like that unexpected little bit of contrast and way I can like build tension and add some more femininity into it while still staying true to my style, which I really, really like. So yeah, she's a skirt girly now. Oh my God.
So good too.
What about you?
Oh, me. I think it would have to be, I feel like there's a bunch of pieces, but the one that comes to mind is the lavender fringe skirt. I've had it for ages, like 12, 13 years. It's like you were saying, like it's more of an occasion piece, but so I don't wear it all the time. I'll wear it like maybe 2-3 times a year, but the amount of times it's come in handy, like it's like a last minute gala or like now, like, you know, where it comes in most handy is, like I said, like a last minute event where I know I can wear a button up shirt, a denim shirt. I can wear my bustier if I want to dress it up. I can wear like everything. It's one of those pieces where like you buy it, it looks like a Muppet. Okay. Like it actually, no, like it looks like a Muppet. Oh my God. And so I think to most people, you'd be like, when am I going to wear this? But it's not as, so sometimes, you know, like we talk about like usability, but how many times have I not had to worry about an outfit? And to me, the mental load that skirt has alleviated for me is like bananas.
Like go-to.
It's a go-to, and I don't care. Like, you change it up so many times. It's a skirt. Like, I don't care if people see me in it. It's fabulous. Why wouldn't I, like, I want people to see me in that skirt. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah. Oh, would like to know the differences between Scandi style minimalism and Canadian style. Do they overlap? Are they different? And how? I like, they are very different. And I would also like to know how important natural fibers are to sustainability. And we were talking about this before, so I think that's a really good question.
Yeah.
Shall we start with Canadian versus?
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about.
I can't. It makes me too sad. You live in a really cool city, Christina. I think you have a more accurate.
There's like a sound how to dress like a Toronto girly, and it's like, well, I feel like there's two types, right? There's like the main type I see is, okay, Toronto's a very walkable city, it's very commuter, but I think there's different, like, there's different styles. So I feel like there's like more boho hip kind of like hip, yeah, like hipster, and then there's your athlete. I think Toronto, I would say ultimately it's a very athleisure city, so we really combine like your athletic wear, walkability vibes, like some very functional pieces with, and that's like the main focus. So you'll see a lot of, I see a lot of like leggings, sneakers, hoodies, and then like a long overcoat or even a puffer. Right now it's like a puffer.
Short or long?
Both.
Ah, yeah.
Both. But I think it's like, it's very functional and very comfortable. And then the other thing I see a lot is like full-on sweatsuits. So very, again, very comfortable, like, but it'll be a full set. And then, you know, they'll do like the slick back bun and the like cute earrings and stuff like that. But it's very athletic, athleisure. That and like Blundstones. Everyone wears Blundstones.
You know the silhouette of my boot?
It's almost, like a Chelsea boot.
It's like a Chelsea boot, but chunky.
Chunkier.
But more like, it's meant for
and
like.
Short ankle. Okay.
Yeah. Kind of like a hiking boot, like a little bit more sleek. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that with jeans and like. I want to say plaid, but that's like, but that's a very specific aesthetic. That's maybe like a 2015 Toronto vibe. Everyone wore Blundstones in that back in the day. Yeah.
And I have to say, sorry, I was being mean earlier, but like if you go, I have Canada is such a huge country that like geographically too, the weather and the climate is completely different. And so it's very different even in any of the provinces and cities. And like, and the vibe too, like Toronto is that, and Montreal is very European, like a really, really good style in Montreal, right? Like, and you get you see everything. There's like dressed, it's like, I find people in Quebec have a similar pride of like their physical appearance as they do, like we were talking about here in Denmark, and like they really, it runs the gamut, and it's very artistic. I think Quebec in particular is very artistic. So you'll see like a lot of like independent, like you can't place what people are wearing because there's just so much like independent brands and designers and locally made things, which is very, very cool. And in Ottawa, everyone just wears Patagonia or a you know, functional. Because everyone's hiking, biking, or skiing. Okay, that's what we do.
And not to stereotype it, obviously, all these cities are very diverse and like, you know, but yeah, if you did like the TikTok sound, how to dress like a Toronto girly, like that's, you know, it would be Lululemon or like the Aritzia, like the full on jumpsuit, some kind of puffer. And like, that's the vibe.
Yeah. What about Scandi? Talk to us.
Yeah, I mean, there's a stereotypical, like if you Google Scandi style, it's very much like the monochromatic, like neutral, like very much the stereotypical capsule wardrobe, I think, like wool coat, light wash jeans, like a pair of white sneakers and like a gray sweater or something, like very stereotypical. I feel like that is very much how many people dress here. I think it is very much part of the whole aesthetic, but like you say, it's not to put it all like into like one box because people dress however they want. But and then as we also talked about in the previous episode or one of the previous episodes, like there, I feel like the contrasting element of like keeping things functional, keeping it practical, functional, but still having that element of style. So not going all in on like athletic, like I'm going to the gym kind of thing, but still keeping that, those contrasts of like that more stylish element.
Yeah. The other thing I would say too is like, it's almost like at least I've noticed like it's almost, there's kind of like an East Coast and West Coast. Like, so I feel like, you know, Toronto is like considered East Coast. So it's a lot of black, dark colors. But when I went to like Vancouver or Victoria, people wear a lot of brights because it's so cloudy and rainy all the time. And so it's like you want something to like brighten up your day and your style kind of thing.
Where I think here, like people are not afraid to wear like really, the weather here is, they're not afraid to wear like color, but they're also not afraid to wear gloomy things because then use other things. Like then you go into a sweet little cafe, which can be really dark, but the lighting is perfect because it's the perfect warm color. Mm-hmm. And like you get a nice cup of coffee and that kind of makes up for everything. Yeah. So, yeah.
And then the other part of that question was how important are natural fibers to sustainability?
Yeah, let's talk about that. We talked about it this morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
You want to start?
Yeah, so we actually talked about, like, let's take polyester, for example. People are very, like, afraid of polyester, which I completely get. Like, it's made from from non-renewable sources. Mm-hmm. But we kind of forget, like, the functionality, like, the longevity aspect sometimes. Like, and I think people get really angry about the fact that, for example, a high-end brand will take, like, polyester and make, like, a suit in polyester. Mm-hmm. But we forget that, okay, well, it's not necessarily all bad because polyester is actually quite strong and durable. And sometimes, like, making even this mix of fibers with a little bit of polyester can make the piece stronger and last longer.
Yeah.
So I think it's about, like, broadening the discussion and, you know, thinking about durability, too.
Yeah.
And, like, we need, you know, polyester, nylon, all those synthetics in... It's the function of it too, like, you know, if you need waterproof resistance, like parkas, quick drying. Yeah. So like your athletic gear is very important to have that. Like, so it depends. I think at least for me, I try to look for as many natural fibers as possible when things are going to be close to my body. For example, t-shirts and tank tops, things like that.
Because you can breathe better.
Because it breathes and because I'm a sweaty gal, you know. Yeah, so, yeah. And the other thing I kind of, one friend of mine brought something up. She's like, I can't wear wool cashmere at all. I am so allergic. Mm-hmm. So everything I wear is acrylic. Unfortunately, unfortunately for her, she's like, I want to wear these things, but I can't. So like, there's other, you know, it creates options for others. And I think, you know, ultimately, it's the global picture is that, you know, these synthetics are going to be around longer than we are. But I think functionally, when a wearer is using something, there is purpose for it.
Exactly. And when you, and I think the idea is to use the right fabric for the right purpose. That's like the trick.
As opposed to cutting corners and like, because that is a problem, right? Like a lot of
recycled dress, like, sorry, recycled polyester dress. Where's the point in that, right? It's not necessary. Do you have to use polyester for that?
Yeah. So I think where the problem lies is like when they're using it to cut corners. Exactly. And like, because a lot of brands I've noticed will like, they used to do all like wool or like a wool elastane blend, and now it's fully synthetic, and it's like, this is obviously to save money. Yeah.
Exactly. And make the piece cheaper for the customer, and like, yeah. And I think also part of the problem is that we focus on the end of this, not part of the problem, but let's focus on the amount of time we wear it, like the life of the piece.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the conversation also shifted to like, okay, but I choose natural because it's biodegradable.
Yes.
So we're already there focusing on like, and it's good, you know, it's good to think that way, but it's also like, okay, but what about the amount, the period where you're actually wearing the piece?
Yeah, because I've even bought, is that a word? I've purchased like 100%, like I realized, I think I like, for example, my tank tops, I like a little bit of elastane in there. Mm-hmm. I've purchased a full 100% cotton tank, and it doesn't give me the form-fitting, figure-hugging shape that I'm looking for, and it shrunk up quite a bit, which like bums me out. So it's kind of like, and now that, so now because, and it's fantastic that that piece is now 100% cotton. Let's say if I get rid of it, it's going to break down, all that, but like I'm not wearing it as much as I would have wanted to because of that. So it's it's a very nuanced conversation, and I think it's a difficult question to answer in a way that's going to be like solid and pleasing to everyone. But I really think it's about like, what do you need from the garment, and what are you?
I think the purpose point of view is like the best.
And I thought the cutting corners point too was really important.
Yeah.
And it's like another way that you can see if a brand is cutting corners is like when there's so many blends, when you see like wool, polyester, rayon, like that's an obvious one as well.
Yeah.
And I think the only point that I would add to answer that question is also like, yes, natural fibers are renewable just from this, you know, if we look at wool, like, yes, more sheep can be born. But I think this question made me think of, like, again, the overarching issue, in my opinion, with sustainability and fashion is the overconsumption piece. Mm-hmm. So we could transfer every garment into bamboo, cotton, wool, all of these natural things. But the point is if we are continuing to consume at the rate and volume we currently are, then we're still going to deplete our resources, and this isn't a sustainable business model.
Like that's the problem with cashmere now, right? Like all of your modern cashmere is not going to be as high quality.
Because the goats aren't happy.
Yeah. And then they're overgrazing, and it's causing problems with the ecosystem. And so it's like there's so much nuance with, like, we think that this is like the black and white solution, but there's just so much complexity that goes in that it's like over my head. And I, you know, so it's it's a very multifaceted.
It's a great question. And I just, and there are so many, like you said, so many layers to it. But I think it's always, I don't know, that came to my mind when we answered that. Yes, travel blog, it's coming. Lifestyle shift. So recently retired from corporate, struggling to adjust my style and wardrobe to a new lifestyle. Could you cover tips and tricks for this type of major lifestyle shift? And I think maybe we can touch on like any lifestyle shift. Like maybe when you have a baby, like I think we had a couple questions about like, I'm a new mom, how do I adjust to all of this? What are your thoughts?
I think like kind of doing the wardrobe edit all over again, where you like go through, you know, what you are actually wearing and what, because it will make you realize what new requirements you have for your wardrobe and what requirements you've kind of outgrown. So even if you're not like satisfied with your current wardrobe, I think that's always the best approach. Like just filter it and get that stuff out.
Yeah.
Have a look at it, analyze it. If there are gaps, figure out what the gaps are.
Yeah,
so smart.
But also, like, just the whole, like, picture yourself in the different, like, especially from a mom's perspective. Like, when I put together outfits, it's like, am I going to be with my kid today or not? Or how much am I going to be with my kid today? Or even if I'm walking the dog, okay, where will I be going? How's the weather? Like, you know, will I be going through the forest? Like, where will I be? Like, picture your day and like figure out what requirements do I have and what can I do with what I have? What do I need to...
Yeah, so I think it's like, if it sounds like if she, did she say she went from corporate to?
Corporate to retired.
Yeah, so I guess like with corporate, I hear a lot of like, maybe there's a lot of like button-up shirts and blazers and trousers. And I think, is there a way to integrate those into your style that's a little bit more dressed down? So maybe you don't do the full-on suit, but like, you know, you wear the trousers with a sleeker pair of sneakers and a hoodie if you want to, or like... Or do the blazer with a hoodie or a sweatshirt or something that's a little bit more casual. So like, what are the ways that you can, again, we talk about that, making the wardrobe feel seamless and like blurred together. So instead of being like, these are all my work pants and my work outfits, how do I take these to the cafe on a weekend?
Yes.
I think that's, and finding, I think also just finding maybe like, if those pieces feel too fussy or too tight or too precious, then you know, maybe it is an opportunity to declutter some pieces and then find some and then fill those new gaps with like more comfortable, versatile pieces that still feel elevated, that can take you out of the house but you can also wear in. So like, I mean, I feel like the pants you're wearing are great. Alyssa's wearing a pair of like,
and I love that they're sleek here
but they're stretched. That's exactly
what I'm gonna suit like.
You're gonna make your own. I'm going to make my own pair exactly like this.
Yeah, of course.
Because then, you know, when you're doing a half tuck, it's like polished.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, no, comfy.
The best things I've ever. And guess what? They're polyester, just so you know.
Oh, yeah. No, okay.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So, Alyssa, for those who are listening, Alyssa's wearing a pair of wide leg black trousers. They are full length. And then the front is like your very polished, you know, eyelet. What's that?
It's like a placket. It's just like a.
Yeah, like similar to like a classic like tailored trouser.
Yeah, like just a trouser.
But then the back is elasticated and cinchy, so
Are they stretchy? Yeah, they're a little bit
A little stretchy. Yeah.
But they have press folds still, which is that element of like dressy.
So I love I think, you know, people like cringe when they hear the word elevated basic, but that's kind of what I think of, like where it can be sort of multifaceted. So I would wear those with a pair of sneakers, but I would wear them with a pair of pumps if I wanted to. So I think finding pieces like that is really helpful.
Yeah.
And I think also, I mean, perhaps this is just in the case of going from corporate to retired and maybe less so other lifestyle changes, but perhaps give yourself like a year's period, because from what I've seen of people who are retiring, like my parents, like maybe you don't know what your retired life is going to look like yet. Like you don't know what you're doing. You know, like maybe, acclimate, give yourself that year and see what it looks like for you.
Yeah.
Because then you'll get more data. When you actually do that closet edit, you'll know what your average day looks like. Like right now, you can't really answer that question. So
same with like maternity wear, even like it's a lot of people get into like maternity fashion and what pieces should I buy? And then like wait, like just let your body
tell you what.
Yes,
you mean.
Because it's probably not going to be what you think. So just like give it time.
That's a good point, yeah.
I'd love to hear about how your fashion journeys have influenced the people in your life. Are your parents, partners, siblings, friends more aware of sustainable fashion, or do they have their own three words, or do they buckle down on not being fashion because you are? I've had various reactions since getting into sustainable fashion, and I would love to hear about your experiences. It's an interesting one, eh?
Yeah, I actually I went to get my nails done before the trip, and I was talking to I was talking to my my nail lady about this, and she was like, she just finds it really hard to like wear the same thing twice, like for an event, for example. And I think the question is really like, how bad you want to like try to be part of the solution to like more responsible consumption, or, and I'm not saying like never buy anything, but then at least figure out like, okay, well then can I maybe borrow a dress next time instead of like buying a new one, or like trying to explore how you can be part of the solution.
What I would say to that too is almost like, no one really remembers what you wear, and it's like, you know, you wore it, but maybe it was like to this wedding where you don't know anybody, so like why not wear it to the next place, especially if it made you feel good. It just kind of bums me out to know that I would only wear something one time.
And it also builds into that whole signature style, like wear it with pride and as part of yourself. okay, so how we have influenced people in our lives.
Honestly, it doesn't really come up for me. Like, I guess, well, I've influenced my sister because she gets a lot of my hand-me-downs, and then I get a lot of hers. Like, if she has, like, a Poshmark fail, then she'll pass it on to me before reposhing it or something like that. Or, like, if I'm decluttering, she goes through it. So, I feel like we've helped each other's style evolve, and, like, I help push her a little bit because... Mm-hmm. Sometimes, because she's, you know, she's a mom too, and she's like, you know, I want to be like, so she, I think for a bit she kind of got stuck in that like leggings rut or like, I don't want to stain anything kind of. So you sort of just, you're more functional than feeling fashionable. And now she's like exploring a little bit more. And that's really, really fun. But like for, in terms of parents or like my partner, Jeff, like Jeff is like a minimalist and like a sustainable, I want to say sustainable queen, sustainable king, go babe. He's really gotten into things like selvedge denim, which is about like, so it's raw denim, and the whole like appeal of raw denim is to wear it so much that you basically customize how it fades. Mm-hmm. So it's about buying one pair of jeans and then wearing them for years to get that fade and that customization. So he has a much smaller wardrobe than I do. He's much more of a sustainable consumer than I am, especially in that way. So I think he like almost influences me.
Can we just take a second and point out, like, Jeff isn't like, I'm gonna be doing this, da 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 da. This is just his way of being, which is I think that's really neat, and I think cool to point out also. You know,
like,
I mean, I don't know how much it trickles out and actually like sparks like doing something in like mine network, but I think people, like, when I tell people what I do, they find it really inspiring, and like sometimes people will be like, oh, can you come do my closet, or like, can you come do my colors one day, which I think is it's a great example of how busy people are too. Like, we've talked about the whole thing about having time, like, we do this as like part of our living too, so we have we have a lot of time, whereas other people are just like so busy, so I think they want to, but it's hard to find the time.
I'd like to know, wait, but you haven't seen Friends, but I'd like to know who's Phoebe, who's Monica, and who's Rachel as it relates to attitude, style, and life. And you should dress up as your respective Friends character. Love it. Thank you.
You can tell me who I'd be. I
feel like you're Monica. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I've never watched Friends. Sorry.
Monica's like go-getter.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she is.
Maybe not so much in terms of style. Your style's cooler than Monica's.
I don't know who I'd be. I think
I want to do. Okay, after this, can we do Sex and the City?
Yeah. Do Friends, and then I want to know.
I feel like I'm a mix between Monica and Rachel, because in terms of like keeping things neat and like, you know, having like, we're doing this at this time, and we're like, like, you know, I'm very organized, I would say, similar to Monica. Probably not as anal.
I think I'm like mostly a Phoebe, like a probably. Probably Phoebe. Like, maybe with a bit of Rachel. And...
Yeah.
Mostly Phoebe. Just crazy.
And if we're doing Sex and the City, I'm a Miranda for sure.
Yes.
I'm a hard ass and just like very like matter of fact and like, I'd say I'm a Miranda.
Yeah. I don't know who I would be. I don't think I've watched it enough to know.
Really?
Maybe Charlotte? I don't know.
Maybe Charlotte.
Yeah, I think I'm maybe a little bit Charlotte.
A little bit like softer and a little bit more like skeptical and like.
But you know what you want? You have firm boundaries, because Charlotte did. Charlotte was 100%. Like, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, she still had like a good strength.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I think you're vibrant like Samantha.
Really? Yeah. Great. I was going to say Samantha, but I wasn't sure. I was like, I don't know, maybe not. Excellent. That was a great question. Yeah, loved it. I'll dress up as Samantha. Too late.
But are we all like fashion lovers like
Carrie? Oh, fashion. Yeah. Yes, I think so. That's like the common denominator. Yeah. Oh, this is a good one. I'd love to hear about, when is it enough and how do you stop yourself shopping unnecessary items?
I think it's about eliminating the stimulus for what tempts you and then what makes you feel like you don't have enough. And for me, that is an immediate, it's social media. Mm-hmm. Full on, like, get off social media if you're feeling that way. And then I think it's like, I tell it to myself, I'm like, you need to go touch grass, AKA go touch your wardrobe. Because I feel like whenever, from my process of shopping, it goes from this, like, idyllic, like, I'm going to wear this all these different ways and I create all these scenarios of like, you know, this is going to be great here and this is going to go with this. And like, there's very intentional questions that you can ask. But when you're feeling like, I think in your gut, you know, if this is like, I'm like happy to do this versus like, I'm not sure. I don't know. Like, this is, maybe this is, I'm shopping for another reason, right? But like, I feel like being online all the time, it just creates these new wants and this new feeling of like being behind, where you just really need to, for me, I need to like go back to my wardrobe and realize that I have so many clothes, like more clothes that I could wear, and just start playing with them and wearing them. And like, I think it really grounds you and brings you back to yourself. Yeah. And then, because honestly, like, there's no better feeling of being like, I feel great in what I'm wearing. I like, I feel confident. I feel like, just good. And just, yeah, it's like a self-confidence,
yeah.
You know, you kind of strut and it's like, I have a good wardrobe. I have what I need.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that you need to constantly working on, because there's just things around us all the time that are going to say that it's not enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you just like magically wake up one day and be like,
I'm good.
I have enough now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. Life changes and then you wear that piece out. And then like,
yeah.
I think, yeah, it's more of a feeling of being like content and like satisfied. And then even then you might need to make a few changes. Like I've been, you know, I'm very content with my style in my wardrobe, so in that sense I feel very satisfied. I don't feel like I need to add like new types of aesthetics or styles.
Yeah.
But then I will buy improvements in some of, like, for example, my jeans. Okay, those are too tight now, so I'm going to replace them with a new pair that feels more comfortable.
I think to both of your points, for me, it's like, I think it's also important to admit, like, or find what enough means to you. 'Cause I think as humans, we will always want more in that sense. Like, we're always going to, we're hunter-gatherers. We like the novelty.
Yeah.
And I think it's like both, to both of your points, like when you feel like you are enough as a human, and this is like very existential and like self-work and Oprah and blah, blah. But ultimately, like, if you are content and realize that you are enough as a human, just showing up as you are, then I think you'll find the things in your, the external things in your life are also enough. Like my closet, I'm satisfied. I have what I need. You both said this, like you look at your closet and you feel satisfied and you feel content. And it's like, when you love what you have what you need kind of thing. And I don't know. I know I have enough in my closet just personally when I buy a piece and I'm not excited about it. I also think it's a matter of knowing you have enough when you feel content, when you've made a purchase, but it feels very pragmatic. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, my Loewe puzzle, or I just recently purchased a Smythe blazer. And I think this is helpful where when you have a list and you don't really buy right away, when you've given yourself that space, it's almost like, so I bought this blazer. It had been on my list for 6-7 months. And I had it on my list. I knew I really wanted it. And when I finally bought it, like, I didn't get the dopamine rush. Mm. I didn't, you know, like, it was nice. I was happy. Yeah, like, I was happy that it came in. But, like, I opened the box, I put it in my thing, and I was like, great. Like, now I have this blazer. The end.
Yeah, I actually liked that. Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
Like, it didn't add anything to my life. Yes, it does. Like, I'm obsessed with it. Like, I've worn it with Bob. Like, look at this blazer. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's
really good.
It's amazing. And I love it. But it's not... It's just, it's still me. It's just me in a really great blazer, you know? Like it.
I completely relate. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I replaced my Veyesh sneakers recently. A little bit of a different model than the previous one, or the style than the previous one. But I wasn't like dying to open the box when I got home. It was like, oh, cool, they came.
Yeah, because I think the other part of her question was like, she feels very satisfied with her wardrobe, but also struggles with like, she's continuing to shop and she's feeling bad about it. So I think it's like really doing a lot of inner. Like there's some inner work that needs to be done there, in the sense of like, not just, you know, and I'm sure you're doing it, but it's like, what's pushing you to shop? What's pushing you to want? And like, is there another way to channel that? Or like what needs to heal? And it could be perfectionism, because shopping is like, you know, we all enjoy it. We all still do it. It's a way to evolve your wardrobe. And I don't think it's anything to feel guilty about, unless it's like, you know, something that's like, you know to yourself, you're like, okay, I'm lying to myself about something, or I'm really like, I'm spending outside of my finances, I'm spending outside of my space to hold things. And I think it's maybe finding ways to get out of a scarcity mindset, because I think a lot of times what we're acquiring is like, either you don't feel, it's again that feeling of enoughness, like something doesn't feel like enough in what you have now. And I think it honestly, like, it takes just simple putting your phone down and like going to your closet and being like, oh no, this will work for that, let me try it, and let me like take that time and do the thing, take that action. It can take you out of that sense of wanting, and that feeling of discontent. Like, think about it this way. It's also contentment can be a fleeting feeling, but so can discontentment, right? So allowing yourself to just like,
even just hormonal cycles, like we talk, like not sleeping, not eating, like
hungry.
But it's like, this too shall pass.
Yeah, it's temporary. Right? Everything is temporary.
Yeah.
I think all of that can really help. And
gratitude.
Yes.
Gratitude is the attitude.
Okay, I think we have time for one more question.
Okay. Maybe we'll finish this with this one, because I also feel like, Christina, you're kind of like, you're a really good expert in this. Are certain items not worth spending more on in your wardrobe? White tees, for example. Like, I thought of you because you've done those, like these are the good ones.
It depends. It depends what you want in a white tee. I do agree. Like, I kind of have a where I spend versus where I save. And that comes with the caveat that, one, everything can be thrifted. And two, it's really relative to what you feel like, what your budget is and what you want to spend. But for a t-shirt, I've actually changed my mindset on it, in the sense of, I will spend a little bit more, but by a little bit more, I mean like $40 on a t-shirt as opposed to like $5 on a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And that's because I haven't found a $5 t-shirt
that kept its shape.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because so like, for example, with a t-shirt, what I'm looking for is like, I want it to be slightly thicker, but not, you know, some sheerness is okay. But I'm looking for like, I like a higher collar crew neck, and I like the, and I want the collar to hold up. So usually I want it to be like a thicker collar. If I pull it, it bounces back. Mm-hmm. It doesn't warp after I wash it and get all weird and like wobbly. And I've had to spend a little bit more money on that. But like, I feel like $40 for a high quality t-shirt is like the max. Like, once you're getting into like a $100, $200 t-shirt, I haven't seen a difference. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, I think so it really does depend what you're looking for. And then like, for example, I mean, a lot of my pieces that I, you know, some of them are higher end, but I know part of it is because I'm paying for a name. Mm-hmm. Even though the quality and construction is great, you know, there's a diminishing returns after that. Like, it depends what you're paying for after a certain point in terms of the quality and the material and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes
any
sense.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. As a designer, what would you say? Is there any like certain constructions or certain pieces that like should cost more, just out of a construction perspective and design perspective?
I guess just the details, right?
Yeah, and like, because there's also the longevity aspect, like how long are, like, for example, a white t-shirt, it will get stained, and like, it's you know, so in that sense, whereas, you know, if it's like a suit or something that you can carry with you through many years, then.
So it's like a cost per wear thing too,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, good point.
But I think like a $40 t-shirt that you wear like a bunch of times a week, and then you wear out in 6 months or get stained in 6 months, I still think that's a great cost per wear.
Yeah.
There's also the whole discussion about that, then keeping it in good shape. Like, I'm not saying necessarily like using harsh bleaches on it to like keep it white, but like, okay, how can I maintain it so it keeps just looking nice?
Garment
care. Yeah.
I think that's good. I thought both of your answers were so good for that one.
Yeah.
What cool.
You have any thoughts?
No. I mean, I think similar to you, Christina, like the thrifting was your caveat. I don't really look at budget as my starting off point. Like, I'll just look at the garment quality. So, and I'll look at my list. So if I'm looking for, like, right now on my list, there's a pair of like a loafer, for example. I'm not, like, I don't have a specific loafer in mind that I want. So, like, budget isn't, I'm just going to go and I'm going to look for exactly what I need. And then when I'm on the spot, I'll decide is this worth it?
Yeah.
Is it? That's my that's a
good
point.
That's a good yeah. process too. I think. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think those were some fantastic questions. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And we will definitely be doing more of these. So if you have more questions, feel free to leave them in the comments. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Make sure to like, subscribe, rate the podcast. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, it really helps us out. And we'll see you in the next one.
Okay. Ciao.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining in our conversation this week. If you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple and leave us a rating and review. It's one of the best ways to support the Sustain This podcast at zero cost to you.
We're also a community-led podcast, so if you have any questions for us, topic requests, or even guests you want to hear from, please send us a DM on Instagram at sustainthis_podcast. We read all of our comments and look forward to hearing from you.
We hope you join us again next Tuesday, where we'll talk about so much more than clothes. Ciao!